and welcome to Books on the Go, a podcast where we talk about our book of the week. I'm Anna Bailey-Karras, and I'm here with our special guest today, Jenny Orchard. Hi, Jenny.
Hi, Anna. Lovely to be here.
Jenny's coming to us from quarantine in Sydney, so I hope that's going okay.
Yeah, actually, it's going pretty well. I've got lots to do and, of course, lots of books to read.
Yes, one upside and on the home stretch, I think. So that's good. Yeah. And Jenny is the curator of the book we're reading this week, The Gifts of Reading, which is a collection of essays on the joys of reading, giving and receiving books. Jenny worked in publishing for many years and also founded the Sydney chapter of Room to Read. And for those who don't know, Room to Read is a non-profit that focuses on children's literacy and girls' education in the developing world, and has the motto, "World Change Starts with Educated Children." And it's a fantastic organisation. Jason and I support it. And that's actually how I met you, Jenny.
It is. I mean, I can't remember how many years ago it is, Anna, and it's rather wonderful. Wonderful to be reconnected in this way, actually.
Yeah.
Having met your husband, Jason, at around the time of the launch of this book in Hong Kong recently.
Yes, I know, that was great. He was sending me photos and I was very envious I couldn't be there.
I know.
And The Gifts of Reading is a collection of essays, and it's inspired by an essay of the same name by Robert McFarlane about the joys of giving and receiving books. And Jenny, you have got an incredible lineup of authors, and it includes some, I would say, iconic authors of our time, and including Chikozie Obioma, who's the Booker shortlisted author of An Orchestra of Minorities. And his first book was also Booker shortlisted, wasn't it? The Fisherman. Max Porter, whose most recent book was Lanny, and he has a new, I was so excited to see he has a new book coming out, I think, in a few months' time. Philip Pullman, of course, the author of his Dark Materials series. William Boyd, who has a new book out at the moment called Trio. Candace Carty-Williams, the author of Queenie, which was the hit book of 2019. Jan Morris, who is just a legend and an icon and a really revered travel writer, among many other things. John Wood himself, the founder of Room to Read and also an award-winning author. And so many more. I don't feel like I should just list all of the authors, because that can be a bit listy, but a really very, very good list. I just loved this book, Jenny. So I think anyone who enjoys reading will love it, but I really enjoyed it on so many levels. So I think I approached it, first of all, knowing that it was in support of Room to Read and with your connection and Robert McFarlane, who we loved his book Underland. Amanda and I did that on the podcast this year. So I was already very intrigued just to read it. But then these authors that you had lined up really hooked me in, because I think they're people that it's just a treat to read anything that they write, and to get that personal insight into their reading life is really special. But then the essays themselves brought me that joy of reading. It brings back all the joy of reading and discovering books. And I loved the different takes on giving books and receiving books as gifts. And it also sort of inspired me in terms of some of the books the authors mentioned that they give. It certainly made me want to read some. I've got so many tags there of books that I now need to add to my list to read. And I loved how idiosyncratic it was. So each author has their really personal connection with gifts that they've received or that they've given. So Chigozie Obioma talks about how he gave away a book that he'd annotated with all of his own personal notes about this book, and he gave it to it because he wanted to impress this girl, and then really regretted it because he has now no record of how he felt or, you know, his reactions when he was reading that book. And then John Wood talking about choosing a book for someone, a bit like in the old days doing the mixtapes, when you'd really carefully select songs that you'd put all together on a tape and give to someone. And it's so personal, and there's something really beautiful about that, I think. And it also got me thinking about, you know, what books do I most often give as gifts? And I found that really interesting, because I tend to I think, choose books for the... There's not one book, I suppose, that I give regularly, but I love that question. I might ask you that a bit later, Jenny, as well. So I just really enjoyed it on so many levels, and it's a treat to be able to speak with you about it. So tell us what inspired the book, The Gifts of Reading.
Well, I don't suppose you've probably seen the small essay that Robert McFarlane published originally. I mean, it's a tiny format paperback, 34 pages long. And I was standing in line at the Tate Gallery bookshop in London, and I saw this thing. And I knew of Robert McFarlane's reputation, of course I did, but I'd never actually read anything by him. Well, It looked like a lovely little book, and the title, The Gifts of Reading, as you said, just drew me in instantly. So I bought it, and I think I even read it on the tube on the way to where I was going next, and it just sort of set me alight, because it was a book about, you know, connections created between books, about friends, friendships nurtured by books, about the gift economy as opposed to the market economy, all sorts of interesting thoughts in here. And I just started thinking and thought, oh yes, and of course he mentions five books that he gives. And I thought, wouldn't it be wonderful to read what lots of writers give when they give a book away, that there's something they so love they want to share it. So I started thinking about an anthology. And then very quickly, you've mentioned Room to Read, and I suddenly thought, Room to Read has its 20th anniversary coming up. This is something I could do for that. And so off I went. That was the beginning.
Oh, and that essay by Robert McFarlane is incredible, I have to say, that is also included in this book. And it's actually incredibly moving by the end. I don't want to give anything away, but it's a really beautiful piece of writing.
It is, and I've read it many times now. Whenever I sort of want to get myself back into the mood of the anthology, I just read it again. And of course, my original copy is heavily marked. But even recently, I was reading it just before the event in Hong Kong, and I found a word in there that meant a great deal to me at this particular moment. And we don't often have time to reread things, but in this case, this one bears rereading many times over. And he has been such an extraordinarily generous supporter of this book, Anna. Obviously, at the beginning, what I had to do was to approach John Wood and see if he liked the idea of this anthology. And I sent him a copy of the little essay for his birthday, probably, I think, in 2018. I put it in a birthday card and sent it to him. And he wrote to me and said, Jenny, this is a beautiful book. And I said, well, that's great, because I have an idea which I'd like to discuss. And he said, okay. So John Wood style, he went for it immediately. So then my next job was to approach Robert McFarlane and his literary agent and ask whether or not there was any chance that we could use it as a foundation stone for an anthology. And they came back to me with the publisher, Hamish Hamilton, and said, probably within about 2 or 3 weeks, and said, yes, go for it. And that was a wonderful moment.
Yes, and because that gives the momentum, doesn't it? Because I was going to ask what the process was for compiling the essays, but I imagine having Robert McFarlane supporting it was a huge boost in terms of getting other authors on board.
It was. It was quite a long road in the end because, as you know very, very well, authors are incredibly busy these days. People sort of tend to think of authors sitting around sort of writing their books, but there is so much more involved, even in the COVID times, because authors who are successful, they're working on one book, they're thinking about the next one, they might be correcting proofs, they might be invited to speak at a literary festival, they might be invited to endorse the book. There are so many demands on their time. So I had some very clear ideas about the kind of writers I wanted. And from the very first, I had a long list that even now continues to develop in a slightly different direction, because I wanted to get writers who had connections to Room to Read program countries in Asia and Africa. Mm. And I wanted writers who had been vocal about the importance of libraries, because the library is such a cornerstone of Room to Read's work. And of course, I wanted writers who were passionate about literacy. They all had to be passionate about literacy. So I had this list. But along the way, I had lots of knockbacks, as well as lots of people saying, yes, they'd love to do it. And I had to accept those and just keep going. But it took about 2 years to get the whole thing together.
That's not bad, though, in the scheme of publishing, I suppose. It often does take a long time for a book to be published. So That was pretty good work.
Before the publication process started. So it was probably about 3 years in all.
And tell me about some of the reactions to the book and the challenges, I suppose, of launching a book in 2020.
Well, that's an interesting question. I think the biggest challenge of all was finding a publisher, but we did, and we set about contracting and finalising the list and all of that. And the typescript was due on the 16th of March. So that was the 23 essays and my introduction and all the other bits and pieces, including the list at the back of the book of the gifts, which we've compiled. And when the 16th of March, as you know very well, was just the moment when the Northern Hemisphere in particular was starting to worry about COVID. I don't think enough was happening in some places, but certainly everybody was becoming aware of this thing that was around and looking increasingly like people's lives.
Yes, I do remember that time.
And as it happened, I was in London at that time, and we were due to be going back to Hong Kong, where we've been based for the last 8 years. And we suddenly got an email saying, you better get back, because at midnight on the 16th of March, the rules in Hong Kong about entering Hong Kong will change. So it was a very sort of a time when, you know, I was amazed with myself that I pressed the button to deliver the typescript on that precise day. And then I thought, I've got to be philosophical now, because really anything could happen. And to my amazement, as the year has unfolded, all the sort of deadlines were met, and, you know, the essays came in, the deadlines were met, and lo and behold, the book appeared on the 17th of September. Now, you know very well, because you've discussed it in one of your podcasts, that 3rd of September saw 600 books released in September. There was this enormous sort of backlog, COVID backlog of books that came out. September and October are always very, very busy months in the publishing year. That was even the case 40 years ago. But this year, 600 books on the 3rd of September, and mine was coming on the 17th. I thought, anyway.
You get worried it'll be lost in the
you do,
huge numbers.
But on the whole, the reception has been amazing. We've had some good media coverage. We've had extracts in a number of Australian publications. We've had this one event already with another one coming. Things are good. And above all, I have amazing friends and colleagues around the world who seem to have been ordering, inquiring, purchasing and spreading the word. So that has been enormously helpful backup. And a podcast like this is wonderful at helping get the word out. So thank you.
Oh, good. Well, I saw a magnificent review in the South China Morning Post. Yeah. And I, speaking for myself, I think this is my top pick, my go-to as a Christmas gift idea. And I'm sorry to use the Christmas word.
No, I think still that's a very appropriate word to use.
To me, still feels too early. But I think this year we will have to get in early with our gift shopping as far as books go, because from what Annie tells me, getting books, if they're out of stock, they won't necessarily be able to get them restocked as quickly and easily as in normal times. And so if you want a book, or if you're thinking of buying something for someone, even as far ahead as Christmas, it's better to get in earlier.
I think that's very good advice. And would you like me to give you a little tip on this one?
Oh, yes.
Yes, because the book was released in hardback in the UK, and generally speaking in the UK, books are released first in hardback. In Australia, the hardback editions are many fewer. And when I heard that the edition being released at the end of September in Australia was going to be a paperback one, I said, well, what about the hardback? And they said, well, no, you know, it's a paperback edition. And I said, well, you've got to have a hardback for this book, because it's, you know, it makes such a gorgeous gift.
It's a gift, yeah.
I know. So they've printed the paperback locally, and then there's a shipment of hardbacks on the way from the UK. And I have no idea. They never tell people how many they're shipping around the world.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a trade secret. And I know that from, you know, from my other, I said to them, please send enough, because I've got a feeling that it should be a popular gift for Christmas.
I think it will be. Well, certainly around my neck of the woods, because I'll be giving it to everybody. But I'm really pleased to hear I actually got the paperback. So I'm pleased to hear there's a hardback coming, and also that in the UK, for our listeners in the UK, there are hardbacks, because it is, as you say, it's such a perfect, you want to give that as a hardback edition, don't you?
Yeah, I think the paperback looks good. I've seen both, but the hardback just has that sort of staying power, doesn't it?
I think so. And I do miss that, not being in London, because we often don't get the hardbacks of new releases here. So I do have FOMO sometimes. So tell me, Jenny, what book or books do you most often give as gifts?
I was really interested when you said you might ask me that, because you're the first person, almost, one friend asked me in an email the other day, but you're the first kind of professional person to ask me that. And yeah, I did think about it in advance, because I thought somebody's bound to ask me at some point. And books I give, they fall into two categories. You said they're often a book chosen for that particular person at that particular time. And so they're books I've just read that I think, oh, I've got to share this. I noticed, for example, that last year you interviewed, I think it was last year, Behruz Buchani, when I read his memoir.
We didn't interview him, but we did read the book, yes.
Yeah, well, that was an astonishing book. And when I read book about his life on Manus, I thought, everybody's got to read this book. And I just started getting that book and giving it to people. And other memoirs, actually Dina Nayeri's memoir, she's one of the lesser known people in this anthology. She was an Iranian who was an asylum seeker and a refugee. She went from Iran to Italy, ended up in Oklahoma as a child. And at Princeton, can you believe this child decided she wanted to get to an Ivy League university and did. Yeah. Anyway, when I read her memoir, The Ungrateful Refugee, that was another one that was something I really wanted to give. So there are those books that, you know, you read, and as you read them, you think, okay, I've got to get this one out. But in terms of books I've given over and over, probably the book I've given most, and I wonder if you've even heard of it, A Gift from the Sea. Have you heard of that? By Anne Morrow Lindbergh, who was the wife of the aviator Charles Lindbergh. And this is a book that was written in 1955, and it was given to me for my 40th birthday. And it was the first time I think a book gift made an enormous impact upon me. It was about women and about the struggle women have. I mean, it's an age-old problem, finding time for themselves, balancing work and children, etc., etc. And it's inspired by the sea and walks on the beach and meditations. And it's just a beautiful sort of meditation about life and the importance of finding time for yourself when everything else is so busy. So that's something I've given to lots of people over the years. And then The Book of Tea, which is a book by a Japanese man, Okakura Kaguzo, because I lived in Japan and I'm passionate about Japanese culture, and I feel that sort of sums it up.
Oh, I'm making notes of these, Jenny. They sound great.
There are a couple of books I give that help people navigate life's challenges. When my father died, when I was in my 30s, so lots of people lose parents before then, but it was still young enough. Mm. Somebody recommended to me a book called Necessary Losses, which is about grief to an extent, but it's also about loss, the theme of loss throughout our lives, and loss being a very significant part of change. And I know you've experienced change, and so have I many times. And sometimes when change seems difficult, I've gone back to that book. So that's a book by Judith Viost, who's an American writer.
That sounds like a very good 2020 sort of recommendation for lots of people going through who've been affected by the pandemic, for example.
I think so. I absolutely think so. And I know that it's a book. I mean, it would have been published, I don't know, 30 or 40 years ago. I know that it's a book that's still very much around in the States. She's quite a well-known writer, but perhaps not so well in Australia. And an Australian one that I choose quite often, My Mother, My Father on Losing a Parent. So that's a similar theme, but that's an anthology like this one with some wonderful contributors, including Susan Windham edited it, Helen Garner's contributed, and they're essays about losing your mother or your father. So yeah, there are a few of the books I give. But I wanted to ask you about Robert McFarlane. Have you come across The Lost Words and The Lost Spells?
No, I haven't read them. When Amanda and I did Underland and looked into his previous work, we read about them. So I've heard of them just because of that, but not read them yet.
Well, I'll just say something about The Lost Words, and The Lost Spells has come more recently, but The Lost Words is a book to read, but it's a huge book. It's a book to wonder at. It's a book that was produced in response to the fact that the Oxford Junior Dictionary was about to drop all sorts of words connected with the natural world from its printed edition, I think it was, in favour of words connected with technology, so things like download and screensaver. So words like heather, bramble, conquer, bluebell, kingfisher, these words were all going to disappear, and there was an absolute outcry in the UK. This was probably 4 or 5 years ago now. Yeah. Anyway, an artist called Jackie Morris, who's another person who features in the anthology, had the idea of creating a book, and she contacted Robert. And in the end, they worked together on this. I mean, it's a stunning book, Anna. It's, as I say, very large, and they take 20 of these words. Robert has written a spell, and Jackie has created the artwork. So for every one of those words, there are 3 double-page spreads with exquisite artwork. I mean, the bluebell page, I mean, that blue is just astonishing. So it is a it's a book to be sought out. I mean, it's a British book, but it seems to have had international success. It's been translated, I know that much. And when you read Robert's spells, you know, it's hard to imagine how some of them could be rendered in other languages, but there are clever people out there. Anyway, this is
how I don't know how translators do it sometimes, but this was a huge bestseller, wasn't it?
It's been a massive bestseller. It was a book of the year at Hay, which is one of the biggest literary festivals in the world, as you know. It's been called a cultural icon, and it goes on, but it's not so easy to find around the place. But I do recommend you get hold of a copy. And then the one that's just come that Robert calls The Little Sister is The Lost Spells, which is a much smaller book that he says is wonderful because you can carry it around with you and read it and identify the things like a goldfinch that appear in its pages. And, you know, what's happened with The Lost Words in the UK is that it's been put into hospitals and hospices, and it's been given to refugees and cancer patients. I mean, all sorts of people have benefited from this combination, this extraordinary marriage of words and art.
Yeah. So isn't that beautiful? And that one of the themes of this collection, The Gifts of Reading, is the way that a book can be a gift that keeps on giving even after you've read it. It can go on to have so many lives and impact so many people.
I know. I don't know if you remember this from my introduction, but I quoted a writer called Ben Ockrey. Let me find it. There's a secret trail of books meant to inspire and enlighten you. Find that trail. And that's what I feel we're all looking for, isn't it? And you're helping people find that trail through the podcast. And this book is another way of helping people find that trail. And it's different for each one of us.
It is. That's a great way of looking at it. Yeah, that's a lovely quote. And also, Jenny, because we're a podcast, we often ask our guests if they have any podcast recommendations. Do you listen to many podcasts or?
Do you know something? I wasn't a podcast person at all until very recently. I think there was a period in my life when I was working so hard that I was taken off to a mindfulness course, which taught me to do one thing at a time. So if I'm out walking, for example, I think I should be walking and looking at what I'm walking at, the landscape around, rather than listening to something at the same time. Yes. So only this year, when I found myself having to drive quite a lot, that I started listening to podcasts and actually realizing that there are riches out there. I mean, riches. And I even felt this when I was looking at your 149 episodes.
There's too much choice.
There is too much. There's too much to read, too much to listen to, too much to watch. But yes, I suppose, you know, given my focus on books and literary things, I have the podcasts I tend to seek out are podcasts from literary festivals. That's my podcast story, Anna.
Yeah, that's good, actually. I know in Australia, the Sydney Writers Festival has a podcast. Adelaide Writers Week records and podcasts, most of its sessions. So it is lovely to be able to go back and hear those interviews.
It is. And there's another one that I discovered, I think it was this year, must have been this year, Hey Player, which for £10 a year, which is an extraordinarily small investment, you get access to all the Hay resources, which is, you know, the Hay festivals around the world, the original one in the UK, and then in some of the satellite festivals, and also the digital, the winter weekends they've had. I mean, so much there.
Yeah, they did a good job this year. They just converting the festival to an online event, but it was hugely successful, I hear. So I watched a couple of sessions in the different time zone and all of that. So that worked well. And what are you working on next?
Well, that's a good question. And it's something that's uppermost in my mind because I really would love to start working on a gifts of reading for children. And this has been something that I thought of soon after starting work on this anthology. And I'm not talking about a collection of essays for children to read, but rather for adults to read about the books that have inspired people themselves and that they think children, you know, should or would love to read. And we've got a couple like that already in this anthology, significantly the one by SF Saeed, who is a writer new to me. But what I would love to do would be to get a whole collection together.
That would be wonderful. And in fact, that reminds me, because we often, I think we need to do at least an episode on this as well, of people do ask us for recommendations for their children or their teenagers. And yeah, that's a whole area that I know there are certainly lots of YouTube channels where, or BookTube, where people do YA recommendations, but children's as well is an area that I think there's a demand for. People want, you know, that list of what books should I be giving my children to read.
Yeah, no, I think everybody wants to know what books to give children. I now have a grandchild, a baby girl born this year in COVID times, and already yes, I know, she's already loving books, and her parents keep saying, bring more books. One of the people I acknowledge at the end of Gifts of Reading is Julia Eccleshare, who's actually the children's director at Hay. And I hope very much that if I do a Gifts of Reading for children, she would be involved in helping me identify and contact some of the people who could contribute.
Yes, oh, I think that's a great idea. Well, thank you, Jenny. That's been really interesting and I've loved this book. It's The Gifts of Reading, The Joys of Reading, Giving and Receiving Books, and inspired by Robert McFarlane and curated by Jenny Orchard. So thank you. That's it from us. I'll be back next week with Annie. I think we're doing What Are You Going Through by Sigrid Nunez, and we're also reading The Paying Guests by Sarah Waters. So they're coming up, but you can follow us in the meantime on Facebook at Books on the Go, or email us at booksonthegopodcast@gmail.com. And I'm on Instagram, Twitter and Litzy at A. Bailey Karras. If you want to find out more about Room to Read, the website is a great place to start at www.roomtoread.org. And Jenny, how can people find you online?
They'll find me on Facebook and on Twitter. I'm not so active on Twitter, but I'm having to be a little bit more active these days, so I'm there.
And that's at Jenny Orchard.
Yeah, that's right.
Jenny with an IE.
Jenny with an IE and Orchard, O-R-C-H-A-R-D. People often say orchid instead of orchard. Oh. So I thought I would spell that out. So thank you for pronouncing it correctly, Anna.
That wouldn't have occurred to me. But
no, you're a very well-read person, but you wouldn't believe how many people say orchid. Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you to you, because honestly, it's been such a pleasure to speak to you, and I'm just so delighted to have had this opportunity. So thank you.
No, that's a pleasure. And I hope we've broken up the routine of quarantine for you a little bit.
Yeah, no, it's been a lovely way to start the day.